Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer of Matt Tremont, and if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in Alabama!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy
guys. All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, August 14, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I got a couple things to, you know, get into on the show tonight. I guess I'll start off talking about my progress on running, because I've actually, you know, hit some milestones for myself. Pretty big, you know, pretty excited about it. Actually, on Saturday, previous to me watching the iPay-per-view, I actually threw down a 10K. So it was actually like 10.2K. So that's like 6 miles and almost 400 yards type business. And I did that in 54 minutes. So I was happy about that. But what I wanted to do from there is I knew, okay, I want to push it even further soon after. And what I did there, and I normally do, is I run to there's a park up the street that's called Hebrew Park. And it's about like a K. One circle around is about a K, maybe a little over a K. So it's not quite a mile, but so normally I'll run up there and then just do a bunch of laps around that. And I have my, you know, pedometer, so it tells me, you know, what I'm running or, you know, what have you. So I was like, all right, well, you know, I thought about it and I was like, well, the next thing I do is going to be not just going there and running laps. I want a destination. There's a further park from my house that's, I'd say, a couple miles away. So what I did, and I had a fucking shit day at work yesterday too. It just fucking people had me all fired up. So I decided I came home and I wanted to really just blow my other thing out of the water. And actually, like, the longest run I've ever ran was 12.6K. I think that was like 7 miles something, or maybe 8 miles. something along those lines. So I wanted to make sure that I did more than that. So what I did is I ran down the street to Laurel Boulevard, probably about maybe 6 blocks away or something. Then up probably another 6 blocks, cross Route 9, around to where I would pretty much end up meeting that park. You probably hit about 2K just going there, you know. So I did that, ran past the park that I normally run at, ran all the way up to the other park, the bigger park, and did a lap around that. So, and that's a mile around that. Then came off of that, ran back to the park that I normally run at, ran a lap around that, then back into my neighborhood, ran down to the marina, which is probably another mile or so, circled back towards my house, and as I looked at my pedometer, it was like 14 point something K, and I was like, fuck that, I want 15. So I ran down to the creek, circled back, and came back, which was uphill, which is awesome to finish your joint. So I did that, ended up with 15.15K, which was 9 miles, 728 yards, and I did it in an hour and 16 minutes and shit. So I felt monstrous after that shit. That, I mean, my legs were fucking dead last night. Surprisingly enough, my legs are all right today. Like, you know, a little bit sore. Like, I felt like I did something, but I don't feel like I did that. So that's fucking awesome. And that just means I'm, you know, progressing more and more towards where I want to be, which is, I don't even know where I want to be. I have pretty much no ceiling on what I can accomplish or, you know, how far I could go. The other cool thing about the run, and now I'll get off of this, but is I went out. Normally when I go to the park, I'll bring like a couple bottles of water. I'll throw them over like in the tall grass so I don't have to have them with me. No one's going to jack them or nothing. And I'll run laps. And then as I pass maybe a couple laps, I'll pick up one of the bottles of water, you know, pour some on me or whatever. Maybe a little bit of drinking it, but not as much because, you know, your stomach will start bothering you and shit. So normally what I do, if anything, is pour some water on me to cool down. So, you know, the overheating thing. So what I did is I ran with 2 bottles of water in my hands, you know, one in each hand. I had my iPod on me, and I had a Ricola in my mouth, like some cough drops. I had one of those in my mouth and one in my pocket. And I ended up getting at least halfway through my run and going, man, like, I haven't even opened these waters yet. So then it just kind of like, because I always try to just challenge myself mentally and just like, all right, well, how much further can I push myself? Well, you know, okay, well, we're almost coming up on the end. Let me, you know, walk, go back around the block one more time. Or, you know, that just trying to push that a little bit further. So when I hit that halfway point of my run, I was like, all right, well, let's see if I could, you know, what if I could do this shit without opening these bottles of water, actually get all the way back home and never open those bottles of water. And that's exactly what I did. It was fucking crazy. I went through my, you know, my 2 cough drops, and that'll keep your saliva going and stuff like that. But it wasn't hot. The temperature was good. So I wasn't really like gassed or anything. And my lungs were fucking great, because normally that shit is, you know, that's my biggest hurdle is my lungs with asthma and shit. And I had no problems with that. And yeah, got home, 2 full bottles of water, threw them back in the fridge because they were warm as shit by then. Went, got 2 cold bottles of water and downed the 2 bottles of water, and that was that. But yeah, man, like I couldn't have been happier with last night's run. So that was off the chain. So my plans now is tomorrow I'm gonna hit the gym, do whatever type of other stuff. Friday, the Niners game is on, so I got to be watching that. There's not going to be a lot of running or none. I initially was like, all right, Friday, I'm going to go back out. So that I'm not. But Saturday, you know, I'm off on Sunday. So Saturday, I'm going to try to push myself even further. So this time I'm going to run to that Gilly Park. That's a couple miles away. And I'm going to run a couple laps around that joint before I even start heading back. And then once I head back, I'll see, you know, how much further I push myself from there. But I plan on topping the 15.15K on Saturday night. So, you know, stay tuned to the Facebook and whatever. And I'm sure I'll fucking talk about it again next week, because what the fuck else do I do? Just fucking yap about whatever. So, that's that, man. I fucking really, really focused on, you know, doing this Tough Mudder in October, October 12th to be exact. Still looking to get some kind of team together. I actually initially thought I had some, this girl, she, you go on the Tough Mudder thing and there's like a message board where you can go and like talk to people who do it. And initially it was, I seen this chick on there who's like, hey, I'm looking to form a team and yeah, I'm doing this by myself and I'm trying to get people together. And I'm like thinking, whoa, shit, me too. So if I click up with her and then we get more people, da, 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 and you know, at least that'll be the start. So her initial plan was to go with that. Well, since then she backed out, which from what I hear is a lot of what people do with this thing. So she never signed up. I'm signing up this weekend for sure. And, that's what I'm doing. But I'm still left with no team, nobody running with me, nobody like that. So what I'm definitely going to do is start forming my own team, immediately after I sign up. I mean, basically the whole thing with it too, is if you're interested in doing it, you just got to be set to do it on Saturday morning, October 12th. And right now I think the registration is $135. If you wait it till the end of August, like another, you know, week and a half, I think like the 20 something, it goes up to 145. And then like the end of September, shit could fucking bulks up to like 185. So you really want to jump on it and shit. So it costs you, you know, the least it's going to, at least for now. I mean, shit, this type of thing, like next year, I'm going to be signed up stupid early. Cause when you sign up, like pre-register, you can pretty much like finish doing this shit and sign up for next year. And that shit costs you like $85. But the longer you wait, the more, you know, you're kind of beat. So, you know, I just started doing this shit this year. So it is what it is. But, so yeah, anyone interested, all you got to worry about is that. That day, that morning, I want to do it somewhere around, you know, 11 o'clock, noon type situation. Basically, from what I hear, you sign up for whatever wave time, as long as you're on the right day. And when you show up there, you could pretty much go when you go. You register, you know, you go, you check in, you get your shit, you get your race number or whatever. And then basically you just go fucking line up when you want to start. You know, they have their waves going. That's exactly what I did at, I seen them doing it at Foam Fest, so I could have done it there. And then Warrior Dash, I absolutely lined up whenever I was ready to go. And that was it. It wasn't even, you know. I think my race time was like another hour or so after I actually raced. So, you know, you can go whenever. And like I said, you sign up. I'm really start networking my ass off to try to get some people down with me. You know what I mean? Cause I could just sign up and then try to like jump on somebody else's team. But I generally don't want just like, you know, fucking five dudes that are friends and then me. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to just click up with somebody else's click. I mean, if you get, you know, somebody from over here, somebody from over there, somebody from over here, and you all click up like that, then I could see it coming together and being, you know, being enjoyable. But I don't want to be just like, you know, fucking five dudes that know each other and me, you know? So it is what it is. I'm doing it one way or another. So, you know, I'll keep everybody, you know, up to speed with that. What else do I got? Definitely get a review of the CZW show. Fantastic CZW show, I might add. But I'm gonna do that later. Last week I misspoke about the snake incident when I was talking about the snake thing at AGT. The dude had that fucking cobra and you know, it was like a fucking 10-foot cobra and he's tapping this thing on the shoulder, fucking with its head. And, you know, and I had said about the thing in New Brunswick that that's the snake choked out a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, which is absolutely what happened. But I misspoke because it wasn't New Brunswick, New Jersey. It was New Brunswick, whatever, England or wherever the fuck that shit is, but out of the country. So, you know, I was wrong on that. So just a correction on that type of thing. But, yeah, that's that. Drake Younger, man, this guy happened to find his way into a situation where he was able to be on Raw. If you didn't catch it, it was after the mixed tag they had, Kali and Natalya versus AJ and Big E Langston, I think that's who wrestled. And right after that match, you see Vince McMahon walking backstage. And you see him, you know, he's walking. You got Drake over on the side, you know, and all, you know, suited up. He's all dressed up. And Vince, like, points over at him and nods and smiles. And you see Drake, he's just, I mean, you see just his head is nodding up and down. Drake just being like Drake. Like, you could tell, like, how super excited he was to be there and shit. Like, Vince is way down the hall, and you still see Drake nodding like, fuck yeah, man. It was cool as hell, man, to see him there. And from what I hear, too, he's on the SmackDown taping as well. So I'm looking forward to watch the SmackDown taping. I got it on the DVR, which I always do anyway, but I don't always watch it. So, he's going to be on the SmackDown taping as well. So I'm super happy for that dude. They were in, I think, Sacramento. So, you know, over there in Cali, that's, you know, where Drake's at. And you know, I'm really, really glad that he was able to do that. I also heard that he's getting a tryout match where he wrestles Joey Ryan in front of, William Regal. So that's gotta go well. The two dudes are super talented. Drake, like I said, he's been tremendous since he changed his life and he's gone that direction. You know, I mean, you know, maybe some dudes aren't so happy with it because you know he's not a party guy anymore. You know, but as far as athleticism and shit, Drake has turned his shit up a million fucking percent. And that's not even a real percent, but that's what he's done. You know. And the fucking guy, I mean, he shredded up. He could move quicker and better than he's ever worked before. And the guy's always been able to work every style and do every type of thing. And I just think it's fucking awesome. And I really hope he gets this shot and, you know, gets himself a contract. Because, you know, how cool would that be for a finale of Drake's life change? Is to go from a dude that was doing all the stuff he was doing, partying, doing whatever, you know, was available and, you know, really getting it in like that and, you know, doing death matches and all that crazy stuff to pretty much going, all right, you know, sober life, fucking, you know, did his tour death matches, you know, while sober, still went, did some crazy shit to show everybody out there. I mean, that's something Drake was still doing. Surely wasn't driven by anything other than his decisions. But, you know, was able to go out there, do a good tour of death matches, and then put it behind him and say, all right, you know, I'm done with the death matches. And then just continue to go in there, killing it in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you know, still doing everything. And then, you know, if he can cap that off with a WWE contract, I mean, what a payoff that is to a good decision, really great decisions that he's made, you know, over this time. So, you know, and especially, I mean, a guy like Drake, who, you know, was over here. I mean, you know, he was in Indiana, but he was so accessible to the East Coast. That's a lot of bookings. You know what I mean? To be able to hit up East Coast and everything, you know, from the middle of the country to the East Coast. And then to just go all the way to Cali where, I mean, you pretty much isolate yourself and it's harder to get booked unless people are going to fly you in. So, I mean, that's a big move that he made. You know, and you got to have a lot of confidence in yourself, such as he does, and, you know, be able to make some positive moves and strides in the right direction, even though you probably have less things on the table and create new opportunities for yourself. Because you're, you know, I mean, Combat Zone can't bring him in every month. I mean, you know, I'm sure other companies out there that would use him just can't use him on you know, on the same frequency as they were because shit, he's in fucking California. So, just really happy for the dude. I, you know, can't say anymore. So that's that. What else? Fucking Necro. Apparently at the Gathering of the Juggalos, let me actually pull up exactly what, at the Gathering of the Juggalos over the weekend, let me see. He went to the top rope and, something happened where he went to the top rope and, the top rope broke. And that sent him falling to the, sent him falling onto a chair. I hate like trying to find some shit while I'm talking. It's like this, I don't know, just like a multitasking thing that I'm doing over here. It makes me sound like a fucking moron, just dead air and all this nonsense. Anyway, so he fell onto a chair because the top rope broke, and apparently this fucking chair, I don't know what part of the fucking chair he hit, but, and Necro's hit a lot of fucking chairs in the past, but this shit gashed him in his leg so deep that it exposed bone. So initially they thought it was a compound fracture, and that's what a lot of people were reporting, because anyone there was just like, his fucking bone's sticking out, it's gotta be fucking broken. And everybody in the world, you know, everybody there thought compound fracture, definitely. Well, what it ended up happening is actually he had just a super deep cut that showed the bone, but it cut muscle, and I think it cut tendons as well. So really fucked up shit. And Necro has always done above and beyond for every company he's worked in. Dude is, you know, one of the most risk-taking dudes you can ever, you know, ever pay to see. Anybody who's seen Necro work knows. I mean, the dude is definitely given everything for the fans. So, it's just terrible to see anything happen like that. And, you know, of course you hate to see something happen in a death match either. But I mean, when it's especially something that's such a freak accident, like the top rope breaking while you're on it, and then you fall into a chair that just mangles your leg, it's a shame. What's really fucked up too is because, he went to the local hospital out there, and because he didn't have insurance, they didn't take any tests. They didn't take any MRIs, any CAT scans, any anything. No antibiotics, no pain medication, no nothing. Just fucking stitched his shit up and sent them back out the door. Like, that was it. Like, just fuck you. You don't got insurance. We're not dealing with your shit. And just gotten the fuck out of there. So that's the number one part of being fucked up. Number two is, to me, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but just from what I'm hearing, this is not being taken care of by the fucking Insane Clown Posse, who are fucking insanely rich. In my opinion, they're complete fucking assholes. If they're not taking care of this injury, they're complete assholes. I never really liked those dudes to begin with. I think their music is shit. I know they got a huge following. I'm very, 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 very well aware of that. I think a lot of the Juggalos are complete fucking just pieces of shit. That doesn't speak for all of you. I mean, I have friends that are really into that. So it's not just saying if you're into that, you're a piece of shit, but there's a good amount of that group that is just fucking completely worthless waste of fucking life. Just fucking bottom feeding scumbags. And, that's just how I've always felt about it. I don't think there's an appealing part about that music. I mean, but there's shit. There's a lot of music I don't like. So, you know, what can I do? But, bottom line is these fucking guys are millionaires. And if they, you know, are going to hire a guy like Necro, something on their own set, it fucking breaks, you know, the fucking ring breaks, and it results in that fucking serious type injury. They got to fucking take care of this guy. And I think it's absolute fucking bullshit if they don't. So, you know, they can seriously go fuck themselves. I've always felt that way. So it's not really like a, you know, a breaking news that I think these people should rot in hell. But, I'm just reinforcing what I've already felt and being a little more vocal. They can really go fuck themselves with clown paint on. The other thing, so anyway, if you do want to support Dylan, they do have a fundraiser that's being put up, and it's got a crazy, crazy fucking link, so I'm not going to try to read it off. This shit is like a half mile long with dashes and slashes and question marks and underscores, and so what I'm pretty much going to say is go to Dylan Summers. DylanSummers, that's Necro's Facebook. Go to his Facebook. The link is all over his Facebook. And go up on there, you know, click on one of them links. And, you know, if you can help the dude out. So, and he's a beast, too. I mean, this is what he posted in yesterday. you know, after all of this shit happened, he actually got home. This is what he posted on his Facebook. Hi, everybody. Sorry for dipping out of the gathering early. Wasn't planned. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, if anyone was there, they're like, fucking guy left. This is bullshit. Then he goes, but in any regard, thanks to all my friends and family for sharing an awesome week with me. I'm back home now, and my little ones have already rubbed lotion on my sunburn. Still got the hole in my leg. Guess it might take a while on that one. But no fracture. There was a bone sticking out, but it wasn't broken. So that's good, right? Big props to all those who went out of their way to help, specifically Kelly, John Williams, Rotten, Andrew Taylor. And to all those well-wishers, I'm very humbled that you've shown this much love and concern. I'll be back in the ring soon, that's for sure. Thanks, everybody. So, and, you know, I mean, a dude, you know, could be in the highest spirits he possibly could be in, more or less like, hey, man, sorry I left early, but shit, you know, that shit wasn't planned. You know, he's a fucking animal, man. He's just an absolute warrior. He did everything he could to, you know, entertain the fans over the years. And, you know, like I said, this is a terrible thing to happen to him. And, you know, accidents happen and stuff like that. I mean, you can't really place blame. I'm not saying, oh, it's Juggalo's fault he got hurt. No, but this, you know, situation did happen. The fact that the situation happened under their, you know, under their program or whatever, not everybody does have the money to, like, if this shit just happened in, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I mean, I don't know if they have the funds to pay, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for someone's, you know, injury if some freak shit happens. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying they do or they don't, but I know a lot of wrestling companies wouldn't have the money. I mean, one group that would definitely without question have the money is fucking multimillionaire fucking Insane Clown Posse. So, I mean, if they would be stand-up fucking dudes and do what's right, you know, because they can. Not because you have to, and not because, you know, that's what every indie promoter would do. It's not what every indie promoter would do. But knowing that you have the fucking money that most indie promoters don't have, no, it'd be fucking awful honest of you to fucking take care of that shit. So, I mean, that's just that. And another thing, it's funny because everybody pops up on this fucking thing, yeah, fucking he should get his money from me and this and that. Funny because Ian was one of the fucking main dudes that was there for him when the shit happened. You know, I mean, it's crazy. You know, people just go out of their way to just bash that dude no matter what the situation is, not even knowing what the fucking current, you know, standings is. Like, right there in his thing, Necro is thanking that dude for fucking going out of his way to help him and shit. So, people need to dead that shit straight up, because unless the dude owes you money, you really don't have a lot to talk about. So, that's that. And then, you know, if you know his reputation and you decide as a worker not to work him, then shit, don't. I mean, that's your own decision. That doesn't mean, like, this dude should just be bashed to fucking death forever. And, you know, it wasn't workers bashing him either. I'm just saying, fan-wise, I mean, this shit looks shitty. And, you know, shit looks shitty. But, you know, it is what it is. And people just go out of their way to run their fucking mouths for no reason, whether they know anything or not. And some people are barely wrestling fans, but the one thing they do know is they could bash such and such. And they shut the fuck up, man. Nobody wants to hear your face. So, that's that. Let me see. What else do I got? Oh, I got to pull up the fucking thing. Jesus Christ. All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a break so I can pull up this SummerSlam card and the NFL thing and talk a little football. And then maybe run down the Bola lineup. I can't possibly pull all this shit up. With it. All right, let me just take a break real quick, and then I'll come back and I'll hit up some more shit. All right.
Yeah, it's just part of the game. Know what I'm saying? Running strings on these hoes. Check it out now. Girls, I got them locked like Casanova Run. After I fuck, they need a bath to soak the blood. These young girls think they can prove I'm laughing at them. I get them back and rag them. I use a whole pack of Magnum. My niggas get knocked for having on the vest blasting. Coke type shit, yo, crew do time for trespass.
want enough dough to get my celly ice. Cold gun diggity, telly price. Drop mad bombs. Fuck safety, keep the gat on. 44 Taurus in my fat farm. Suck the please, the owe you fucking teeth. Lay back puffing trees, got your girl buffing knees. Fool be strapped, no way you can do me black. Let the toolie clap, put one in your koozie hat. Bye. Put your brains in your duty lap, like Air Max. I'm everywhere that you be at, setting booby traps. Holy shit, act the black Moby Dick. Yo, we sick, don't count the dough we get. Blow me, bitch. You fuck around, my crew might base. You should quit this, and go back to school like Mace. Cause that rap you suck, act the flat you duck. Make the coroner wrap you up, act too nuts.
Battle of Los Angeles, August 30th and 31st. Tickets are on sale now for people who live in fucking California. They really need to start with this fucking iPay-per-view thing. Now, I don't know who the fuck I got to write to because I don't really write to motherfuckers. So if anybody listening is into, like, online campaigns or some shit that I can click, like, a like button on when I'm on that bitch, please, please campaign to get them on iPay-per-view because I really need that to happen. I'm going to be honest with you. The All-Star Weekend DVDs that I bought, I still have not fucking finished watching the first one. This is what happens with me. I don't have the attention span to put some shit in and spend several hours watching it. If the shit's live, I can stay with it. You know what I mean? But for some reason, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I watch some stuff and then I thoroughly enjoy their product. And I just can't do it. So I don't know what it is with me, but I know that I will internet them my money every time they put a show on. So I don't know why they don't want my money, but I would gladly do that, and I think many other people would do that as well. There's a lot of companies that run these iPay-per-views. They got to be able to get this together. I can't imagine that they lose money on an iPay-per-view situation. I'm not really sure of the financial ins and outs of that, so I can't really speak to that. But I just know for my personal liking, I would really, really like to see them on iPay-per-view. I would dedicate my fucking nights that they're on to that, you know, and be able to watch it live, and that'd be fantastic. So anyway, the first round of Bola. Battle of Los Angeles 2013 is lined up like this. Michael Elgin versus Rich Swann. Fucking shit, crazy. Kevin Steen versus Chuck Taylor. Johnny Gargano versus Willie Mack. Kyle O'Reilly versus Trent Beretta, or question mark, or however you want to know him. Joey Ryan versus Drake Younger. ACH versus Tony Nese. Brian Cage versus Tommaso Ciampa. AR Fox versus Roderick Strong. And in a non-tournament six-man tag team match, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, TJP, and the Forever Hooligans, which is Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov. So, I don't know, you know what I mean? I don't know how you can go wrong with that shit. That's the shit right there. I'm going to have to cop those DVDs again and probably watch the motherfuckers around Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, by the time they come out, it'll be fucking September. I'll be lucky if I watch that shit by fucking February. God damn. I don't know, man. That shit looks fucking phenomenal, though. I would love to fucking promote that, you know, people watch it on iPay-per-view, but there ain't no fucking iPay-per-view, so. All right. Before I hit the WWE thing real quick, because, I mean, a lot of it becomes redundant, because everybody's got a fucking opinion on the WWE. A lot of them are similar, this and that, but, you know, I'll get mine anyway. But, preseason football started last week, and on Thursday, I believe it was, the Niners played the Broncos. So, you know, it's preseason. Is what it is. You pretty much get your first team out there for like a drive, which is what we did. Drove right down the field. I couldn't have been happier with the way that LaMichael James looked fucking lightning quick coming out of the backfield. Kaepernick looked awesome taking snaps. I mean, he looked great. He looked super mobile. He went 4-for-4 on passing. Anquan Boldin was fucking unreal. I mean, the dude was just, he caught every fucking thing thrown to him pretty much. Just exactly the type of target that we signed up for. That's exactly what he looks like. So we only got that quick drive. Didn't convert on, in the red zone. Ended up settling for a field goal. So whatever. As the first drive, you know, it gave me exactly what I wanted. Whether it gives you 7 points at the end of that drive or not, you're not going to score on every single drive, at least not, 7 points. But it gave me enough confidence in everything else that was going on right there. Of course it sucks not to have Michael Crabtree back there, wide receiver, but what Vernon Davis is doing, and he's run a lot of different plays and things to try to really fill in, spots. Mario Manningham will actually be back long before Crabtree, so he'll be able to do a lot of work too, because he was key for a while for us. For a lot of the season, he was key for us. And Crabtree actually turned it up towards the end of the season. Playoff time is when, Crabtree really, sparked up. And we should have him back by then. So his time to shine was the time that he popped up last year. And that's really where we're going to have a lot of this year, hopefully. Also, filling in there, you got a lot of other options and possibilities as far as wide receiver goes. AJ Jenkins, I don't think is worth shit. I really don't. The guy's been with us, a little while now, and I haven't seen any value out of the dude, and he just continues to really not impress me much. Austin Colley, that dude, he's been injured a bunch of times, but he used to play, catching passes from Peyton Manning. The dude is, not the tallest wide receiver either, but he's good. I like what he did in one preseason game. He impressed me more than AJ Jenkins did in his entire time with us. So I would make sure that we keep that guy on. I think all the holes will fill in. Frank Gore is still a little banged up. He'll be all fresh for the season. Michael James is off the chain. I mean, we got a lot of different things going on there on running back. We really, really, really deep. Beyond that, Pat Willis, a lot of people are talking shit about, Pat, he's got this injury. He, I mean, he broke a couple, you know, small bones in his hand. He got surgery, and he's going to be completely clear and 100% week one. He'll be clear to come back straight up week one, no problem. And he's actually gone through some things with, you know, broken bones in his hand and stuff in the past before, too. And I don't remember anybody saying Patrick Willis looks hurt or Patrick Willis looks like he's not up to speed. So don't think for one second that any of this is going to slow down Patrick Willis, because that dude is a fucking animal. And when it comes down to it, his fucking legs are going to continue to get him all over that field. You know, Patrick Willis is one of those dudes, you know, like a Ray Lewis. He's fucking everywhere. He's involved. He's fucking everywhere. He's, you know, he's in and around the quarterback. He's in and around fucking, you know, the middle. You know, any dump over the middle pass, Patrick Willis is going to be seeing him. You know, he's a threat all over the field. He's a just absolutely menacing linebacker, and you're not gonna get away from that dude. So don't think his legs aren't going to get him where he needs to be. His hand might be hurt, but you know, he got the surgery on that. He's going to be cleared 100% coming back. And, you know, don't you worry about that. But our defense looked great. Awesomewa, who's been, you know, really questionable name because the guy was lights out, considered a shutdown cornerback for the Raiders. And when it came to the Eagles, he was shit. But, you know, to be fair, the rest of the Eagles were shit too. So you really can't blame that guy for where the Eagles were going wrong, because the Eagles were going wrong everywhere. Now, he was clearly smoked on a lot of plays, man, because I would watch, you know, Eagles here and there, and, you know, if nothing else, the highlights, and I would just love to watch them fail. So when I would watch him getting absolutely smoked on routes, I'd be like, wow, look at this fucking guy. You know, they called him a shutdown corner and this and that, and this motherfucker's shutting down. They're running past him. So I didn't know what the fuck to think. I'll tell you straight up, I wasn't really big on getting him. You know, a lot of teams were up for getting him, and we were one of them, and the Bucks were one of them, and a couple teams. And I was like, I don't really know that I want this guy and shit. And then, you know, I mean, just we signed him, and Harbaugh knows what he's doing. So, you know, but they're making this guy work. From what they were saying in training camp, hey man, you know, he didn't win a job yet. He's still gotta do work. He's still gotta do a lot of things. So, but I'll tell you what, on two plays in one drive, dude laid on some serious fucking hits. Serious fucking hits. You know, just put on fucking pops, you know. So that's what you need to do show some kind of, you know, this is the 49er defense. We hit fucking hard. We put motherfuckers in their place. That's what we do. So, you know what I mean? A lot of people, man, it's funny because they go out of their way to talk about, oh, I don't know, this Kaepernick guy, you can't just keep running like that. Oh, people are going to have his number and this and that. And I'll argue that in a second, but people keep forgetting we're defined by our defense. We went half the fucking last season without letting up a fucking rushing touchdown. We fucking shut motherfuckers down on the defensive end of the ball. We had our couple games where they blew it open. But when it came down to it, defensively, we didn't let a lot go by. We didn't let a lot go by, especially on the running game. So you get your run game shut down, now all of a sudden, you know, you got a pass. We have some of the best pass rushers in the fucking league. You know, Aldon Smith, I mean, he's going to be all over your fucking quarterback. So it's real difficult to be a team that has your run shut down and has one of the best pass rushers out there coming at your quarterback. So, you know, keep talking about Colin all you want, but don't get it fucking twisted. And number two, Colin Kaepernick, man. That guy has one of the best fucking arms in the fucking league. The dude was, I believe, drafted or had the ability to go and be a major league pitcher. You know, decided to play football. The guy has fucking a cannon on him. He's fucking crazy accurate. He'll make you fucking pay if you're not. I mean, you got to be blanking in that wide receiver, or he'll make you pay with his arm. People just see a quarterback run, they're like, well, when that runs out, fucking watch out, because you got to be a real quarterback. Dude, he's an unbelievable quarterback. His fucking arm is fucking legit. And
on top of you got to worry about him running, you got to worry about Frank Gore and James. And, I mean, it just doesn't end, man. We have such a fucking deep – oh, man, it's crazy. And then Vernon Davis is one of the best tight ends in the league, so don't get it fucking twisted. You know, shit is crazy. Anquan Boldin is going to be the fucking man wide receiver for our shit. So you got a lot to worry about with the Niners. If you want to sleep, okay, keep sleeping, but you go watch. You're going to see exactly what's going to happen when this season starts up. You know what I mean? This is what it is. It's our fucking time again. It's everybody's time to deal with the fucking 49ers again. It was a long time we were fucking laying dormant, you know, and guys like me, who've been fans my whole life and just like, oh, fuck, man, went through a fucking million quarterbacks. Then we went through Alex's, you know, a long time with Alex and this huge, long, way too long growing phase that he finally came into his own, and then he got hurt, and then they moved on, which I don't blame him because Colin's a fucking superstar. But Alex Smith, man, he took a long, long time to come into his own. And, you know, it was all those years that we weren't really contenders because there was a lot missing. There was a lot of keys missing. We went through fucking handfuls of coaches and quarterbacks, all sorts of shit over the years. So, you know, it's finally time that the 49ers are going to be a fucking force in the NFC for a long time coming. And I expect us to excel heavily this year. So that's what that is. And Friday, we go in and we actually play the Kansas City Chiefs. And of course, you know, you only get, you know, the one drive or what have you, just like any other preseason game. But Alex Smith will actually be on the other side of the ball, you know, on the other side of the field. A different type of red jersey he's going to be rocking. So, you know, should be interesting. And, I mean, honestly, I wish that dude all the luck in the world, because when he did come into his own, he was not the type of guy that was going to break a game open, but he was the type of guy that in the end wasn't really going to make a lot of mistakes. And that, I think that's a huge, huge asset to have as a quarterback. You know, a guy who's not going to lose the game for you. And then you have your playmakers that go win the game, but it doesn't necessarily have to be your quarterback if he's just a no-mistake kind of guy. And that's the kind of guy that he became. So I wish him all the luck in the world, you know. So it is what it is. You know, and Andy Reid's got his fresh start over there, and he's got an Alex Smith at quarterback. So that's something. He hasn't had anything resembling that in a while. So, yeah. WWE, their SummerSlam is Sunday, and I'll be watching that. And they're starting off their pre-show, which, you know, I can't say it enough how annoyed I am with these fucking title matches on pre-shows and all that shit, but here we go again. United States Champion Dean Ambrose versus Rob Van Dam on the pre-show. Man, that's a fucking dream match. But, you know, is what it is. You're going to have a banging-ass pre-show. So there you go. Then you got, oh, fuck, on the, I'm guessing on the main show, you got Natalya versus Brie Bella. There you go with that. Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn versus Biggie Langston and AJ Lee. So, yeah, all right. There you go there. So you get your warm-up match, and then you got to cool down for a little while. I mean, Ziggler's the man. I mean, he'll do some shit in that match to make it fucking make it work. But, yeah. Cody Rhodes versus Damian Sandow. Should be a good match. You know, doing the whole feud with the briefcase, and he screwed him out of the briefcase. This. So this should be a good match, which is, you know, a lot of what I think about this pay-per-view. Next up is Kane versus Bray Wyatt, and it's an Inferno match. And, you know, it should be okay for what it's going to be. I think, you know, Kane's going to get taken out type thing because he's supposed to film Eye for an Eye. I think that's what it's called, right? Eye for an Eye, too. So he's going to be filming that, so I think he's going to be off TV for a while. So this is probably going to be his way to be exited out, you know, being taken out by the Wyatt family. in his own match and this and that, and then come back more evil or repackaged, you know, not fully repackaged, but this will give him a time to go film the movie and shit like that, and then they could build up some kind of return. In the meantime, the Wyatt family is just going to keep carrying momentum and gaining momentum, and when he comes back, it's actually going to be something rather than just, you know, okay, he's with Daniel Bryan, and then we do this, and then we do that, and So I think it should do what it's supposed to do, you know, angle-wise. I don't think it's going to be, you know, like a five-star match, but, you know. So you got Alberto Del Rio versus Christian. This should be good. How's that? I don't know. Christian is a guy to me that I think is a really good wrestler. And I always thought it was funny that he had that Captain Charisma thing, because I think he has the least charisma out of, like, pretty much any wrestler in the WWE. Like, he's just kind of like a default wrestler, he just really no kind of gimmick. He just kind of comes out there with a smirk on his face and wrestles. And I mean, he's a guy that, I guess he's like the Alex Smith of wrestlers. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's not gonna steal the show. He's not a game breaker. He's not gonna, you know, amaze you, but he's not gonna fuck up. So he's gonna be as good as his opponent, in my opinion. So him and Alberto Del Rio could be pretty good. Could be good. CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. I think this should be very good. The whole David versus Goliath thing. The best versus the beast. I think this should work really well. CM Punk has a real, real knack for making matches, tell a really good story and have, good psychology to it and work really well. The guy could take a fucking beating. He could work athletically in the ring, you know, and do a whole bunch of different things to make this match look really, really cool. Unless you're talking to Chris Dickinson, and then he'll tell you that CM Punk just sucks altogether and he shouldn't be wrestling, blah, 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 blah. But in reality, this should be a very good match. Then you got John Cena versus Daniel Bryan, and Triple H is the guest referee. There's got to be some form of screw job out of this match. I think the match is going to be awesome. But then I think there's going to be some kind of screw job, whether it's Vince or whether it's Triple H or whether it's this or that. They're still doing that fucking hardcore pawn fucking family feud bullshit. You know, they're doing the same thing on fucking hardcore pawn that they're doing on the WWE, where they got Les fucking yelling at his kids and he's running around and I'm in charge and this and that. And that's the same fucking shit that they're doing on the WWE. Triple H is going to try to make shit fair because Vince is trying to fuck shit up. But then in the end, like, Triple H is going to wind up fucking somebody over. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's pretty clear cut, or Vince is going to do something, but, you know, we'll see. I expect the match to be really good, so that's really all I care about. They go whatever direction they want with these angles, and, you know, whether people are going to like it or they don't, that's generally what they tend to do is do it their way and fuck who doesn't like it. So, that's pretty much all I got with that. I think that's about all I got, and then I'm going to hit up the CZW thing after a break. I'll take a break and then come back and I'll review that show. So let me do that. Yeah. Oh, maybe I should find a song first. It's fucking hugely entertaining. All right, let's go with this.
Real niggas. Now, is you motherfuckers ready for this? Do you really think you ready for this? Do you know that you ready for this? We gon' see if you ready for this.
I be the street sweeper, nigga. Quick to leave your whole block shook and shot at. The fucking ride with the midnight 11. 24X47. Buckle standing around and get close up and down it. I came here to get brains. Shoot you twice in your stomach. And leave your boxing shorts full of shit stains and bitch stains. You ain't a gangster, you a sucker ass. These niggas scared of your bar. Bitch, I touch ass and bust back. What's that? It's face bomb in effect. With ignorance, prejudice, on and trench. I told you that talking wasn't shit to me. So bitch, be more specific when you spit for me. It ain't shit to me. You a hoe in the fifth degree, a discharge from a dick disease, you little maggot. Part-time thug for a faggot. Plastic ass chump, you don't want no static.
Real nigga.
Loud up, real nigga.
You knew PPP in the back and they parking too. Yo, several barrel bricks, ashy elbow kid. I fuck chicks off Elmo face. My tape is off safety, tongue the gun, mouth the barrel. I spit it numbs the front.
What you want?
My boys is beastie. We grew up untamed, unemployed and eating. New sharks in the water, avoid the deep end. We only fuck chicks that enjoy the beating. Young ice turners, disco infernos, concentration camp. Nobody turn up. I roll up an X that came with kicks, leave you with nightmares. Saying a dame was big. I can train no bitch with a chain and whip. It blow the block down while I change.
Don't
the
approach me wrong. Little kids call me Smokey Mom. Cause the blunt that I like set off smoke alarms. And I stand on the corner till my coke is gone. Niggas wanna get their ice picks, poke the dome. But they know I got a gun big as Oprah's arm. And I know an old lady that'll choke their mom's attitude. That's what I don't walk without. Nigga, I'm a time port, you just talk about. Ickes the man, and I never been to Japan. Got a Japanese bitch with my dick in her hand. This is the plan, I'm about to get in the van. Go and get rid of the man, I done did it again. Skunk I blowed, and off to the trunk I go. Pull up, pump out slow, dump out bow. I'm the nigga that the streets raise. I'm the nigga that'll make three ways out of nigga PJs. The nigga that'll smack the shit out the DJ. If he don't give ignorant shit a replay, poke the flush. Y'all niggas joke too much. And my gun got cancer, smoke too much. We real nigga.
Loud up, real nigga. Unlike some who act hard, I was real ever since I shot out my pop's black horse. I'm real, I can sense danger and tap calls. I'm real, I feel when haters wanna clap more. I look a nigga eye to eye when I speak, I'm transparent. I can see if you a killer or a freak or a bitch that'll do anything to get rich. Or a snitch that'll drop dime on a click. Or a fake that'll rather see me at my wake. Or a Jake trying to infiltrate, give me a case. I'm real like bitch. Get the fuck out my face. I'm real like, let me stick my dick in your mouth, give you a taste. I'm a real nigga if I don't get no bigger. I'm 5'5", still knocking out tall niggas. We real niggas plotting on dummies with tall figures. Real niggas hands on 40 caliber triggers. Bullets humming, real like Red Man, it's coming.
Trick or treat, fastest blunt, scooters, bullets, black gas is the lingo. Fuck a jolly jingle, old bitches break for bingo. Christmas time, I crack yak and Chris with Kringle. Get info from nipples and scratch my nuts with your bingo. Who's the gay stretcher, minus the rap master? Name is House with the gay G after. My thugs on the street with the heat. Listen to me, see them diamond D in my diamond slack. Can't give them to me, Marley D's a part of me. Icky slips his own self, Mickey's in crowded armory. Fuck with Red Man, you're a dead man after robbery. You'll be in that ABC, greedy, put an arm to me. Fuck that, I'ma throw in flame fanatic. Passing brains, come at it. Beat you with the shit that they use to frame the attic. This gank ass caboodle, poodle wig wearing ratchet. Rusty and trusty, musty, whack, nasty.
1-3-7-7-8-7, well, I'm 46.
Once again in the bricks, Chris Jericho reporting live from WKYA Radio, where I find myself in a bit of a snafu. Here, oh, I see a gentleman on the corner who may be able to help me. Excuse me, sir. Pardon me. Maybe you didn't hear me. I'm talking to you. I'm looking for...
Night, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's a fucked up world we're living in. And people are doing some really bad shit. The TSA is about to start allowing pocket knives and horse shit that's under 2 3/4 inches back on the airlines. So make sure that when you're packing up with your loved ones, that you're packing a blade just like every other sick, sorry motherfucker that's about to get on the same flight as you. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Have a good flight.
Yeah, there you go. So, that's the shit. All right, CZW. Let me start off with this. Tangled Web 6, it was. The show started out late, as usual. They had a doubleheader with WSU, the women's fed over there, and, you know, started off late. I initially had problems with the thing. What I did is, it was probably lunchtime, like 3-something. And I ordered the pay-per-view, iPay-per-view, on my iPad. So I paid for it on my iPad. Now, I know that I can't watch the iPay-per-view on my iPad. That's, you know, some technical difficulty situation. It just, they don't have it lined up like that just yet. I know you can't get the Adobe Flash on the iPad, so I think that's part of whatever that is. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, I did understand that, but I figured, you know, paying for it, no problem. And it went through on my card, so that part worked just fine. So then when I got home, you know, I had planned go do the 10K, did that, you know, got home and was just scrambling. Like, why is there's nothing coming up here? There's nothing saying, yeah, the show's starting soon. There's nothing saying nothing. Like, even on the, you know, on the purchase shows thing on my account, it's showing me nothing. Like, the last thing I ordered months ago. So I'm like, oh, fuck, this is crazy. So I'm trying to, like, you know, message Rob Feinstein and, hey man, what's going on, you know, it's not working, this and that. Finally it's getting close and I'm just like, screw it, let me try to order this thing again. You know, it's a $10 pay-per-view, and then I'll just try to, you know, dispute later on and get my first $10 back, because I have a feeling like this is the problem here. So sure enough, put it through again, another $10, and you know, it worked. So and, you know, and it was running late, so I didn't miss anything, and everything. And, you know, to Rob Feinstein's credit and everything, you know, that was, the show was Saturday. By I think the end of Sunday, he already had, you know, because I contacted him, said that, you know, I was charged twice, da da da. By I think the end of Sunday, I was already refunded for, you know, the double billing or whatever. So I still, you know, only paid what I was supposed to for it. So that was that, you know, but it was just a pain in the ass, because it's like, this is what I'm doing tonight. And I'm like, ah, motherfucker. But, you know, it was all good. You know, I'm glad I tried it again. So anyway, the show started out with them doing whatever kind of promo situation and pretty much announcing that Scotty Vortex wasn't there. Now, initially you had what was, they were kind of labeling it like the Naptown Dragons, but it really wasn't, because it was just Scotty Vortex and Drew Blood, which is, you know, fine. But that's initially what they were doing. Then Scotty wasn't there. I guess Scotty had some kind of emergency or some kind of situation where he couldn't be there. So they pretty much, you know, cut the promos and do the thing. And, that brings out Rory Mondo and Ron Mathis. And I think Rory was in the 8-man or something initially. And it ended up turning into, okay, so Rory, Ron Mathis, and Drew Blood versus the Nation of Intoxication, which is Danny Havoc, Lucky 13, and Devin Moore. So you got the you know, 3-on-3 instead of a tag, you know, straight tag match. For the Tangled Web at the main event. And, you know, just to skip ahead real quick, but I'm not going to get into detail until I hit that match. But I personally, and it's nothing against Scotty, I think that match came out a million times better than it would have if it was just Scotty and Drew versus Danny and 13. Because, yeah, Devin wouldn't have been in that match either. So I'll get to that in a little bit. So it started out two new guys in CZW. It was David Starr and JT Dunn. David Starr went over with a roaring elbow. There was a lot of false finishes, a lot of pretty you know, innovative stuff going on in this match. For the guys being pretty much, you know, unknown, they got over really well with the crowd, and, you know, I enjoyed their work. So, you know, these guys being new upstart guys with CZW, you know, they should be excellent additions to the roster, and you know, good to see them, you know, with some young talent on there. The crowd, and I got to also, you know, comment on that, the crowd was on fire all night. So, you know, the wrestlers definitely benefited from having a crowd that was definitely into it, you know, from start to finish. Which is, honestly, which is rare, and half of the reason why I absolutely despise doubleheaders, because I've been to so many of them. Well, you know, CZW doubleheaders, where you're there at like noon, you know, by the time the first show starts, it's 1, 2 o'clock, you know, usually like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock,
By the time the first show's over, you're talking like 8. So you've already been there for possibly, you know, if you got there at 1 o'clock, or, you know, you're already there for 7 hours. And now you're going to watch another show as the night falls. You're going to watch another 4 or 5 hour show. So, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, no matter how good that second main event is, just as a human, you have to be tired. You have to be sitting, and you've been sitting. You're not fucking jumping around the ring. You're not, I wouldn't imagine you'd be, you know, not tired if you were doing that part. But either way, you know, there's not like a lot of things that you're doing to keep all charged up for, you know, all those hours. It's a long, long time to be sitting in a seat and really excited for the entire, you know, time. So me, I've always hated the doubleheaders because I've just sat there burnt out like, oh, I wish this thing would end already. And it's, you know, it's the main event of the second show. You know, technically speaking, it should be the best thing of the entire day, but you just don't care sometimes. There's sometimes you've just been in a seat for too long and you just, you know, tell me about it later. I just pack it in, whatever. You know, so that I've always hated doubleheaders for that reason. And this being the second show of a doubleheader and CZW crowds being notoriously pretty bad lately, whether it be volume-wise or, you know, attendance-wise, this crowd was on fire and a big crowd at that. I give them tons of credit for that. The next match was Greg Excellent, Shane Strickland, and Matt Tremont versus Biff Busick, Joe Gacy, and Alex Colon. My problem with this is, to me, this was just like dumb Survivor Series bullshit booking. They're really, the guys had nothing to do with each other other than the fact of one team was faces and one team was heels. Now, the match was really good, honestly, and it was a lot of fun. Definitely, you know, added a different element to it. They had some comedy in there. They had a lot of different, you know, stuff going on. I honestly thought the match was good. I'm not taking anything away from that. And I actually posted something about that. And I'm not sure. I think Greg Excellent might have took, like, a little bit of offense to what I was saying. But, you know, because he was involved in the match. I mean, shit, if you have a good match and it's a lot of fun, someone's like, well, fuck this booking, you know. I mean, you might look at it and go, you know, what the fuck's this guy's problem? So, you know, and I love Greg. He's a great guy. But, you know, I'm not taking anything away from what was put on in the ring. It's just I feel like the clusterfuck of people that were put in that match was just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah. Tremont has a problem with Gacy, so we got that. Cologne's got a problem with Strickland, so we go there. Biff Busick doesn't really have a problem with the other guy, but, you know, Greg's a face and he's a heel, and Busick's got a crew and Cologne's got a crew, not the same crew, but different crews. And then, you know, it was just a lot going on to just everybody be slapped in a match together. Me personally, if this match, you know, were to be put together, I think the one and only way that you can do it, well, maybe I'm sure there's other ways. I mean, who am I? But the way to do this, and DJ loves to be, you know, involved in segments and loves to have his face seen. So rather than him, you know, trying to attack, you know, people in the ring and always overshine people like he does, what I think he should have done concerning this is did a promo where he's sitting, you know, behind a desk or whatever, you know, like a, you know, promo leading up before the show, you know, a week before the show, 2 weeks before, whatever the case is. He's sitting behind a desk and he's sitting on a, you know, cell phone and he's going, yeah, I know, Fox Everett. Oh yeah. And I got Hollister and Conley and, oh, not to mention Tangle Webb. And you hear knocks on the door. And these guys come flying in. I want Gacy. I want this one. I want that one. And this and that. And like then, you know, then the heels come in on the others. You know, some back WCW and stuff like that. There was like two doors, and then the heels would come in the other door, and they're on the other side of the desk. And I want that guy. And I want. And then him going, whoa. You know, I already got a loaded card. Yeah, you guys might think you're, you know, top-notch talent, and maybe you remain event at some point, but here's what I gotta say. You want to fit on this card, you guys better do a little bit of teamwork, and I'll put you guys, you'll get a chance to get at each other, but it's gonna be on my terms, you know. And he's still heel on her any fucking way, so at least he's just like, you know, you better get acquainted with these guys over here, because it's gonna be you guys and you guys, you go work out your differences and that type of thing. Do that. And then that, to me, kind of makes sense because, okay, that otherwise it's just like random booking,
here's these guys and here's these guys. Figure out why. And then just fucking, like I said, nothing wrong with the match, but just the booking that has you go, what the fuck? Especially when, like, there's one member of two different, like, stables on one team. And then it was just crazy like that. So that was, like, my main criticism for that. But, like I said, fun match. Nothing wrong with it at all. A lot of really exciting shit in the match, too. So, next match was Nevaeh versus Shana, the, what do they call her? The perfect wrestler or something along those lines. I honestly didn't care about this match at all. They didn't do a lot wrong. But the placement of women's wrestling on CZW is weird. It really is. Because when it comes right down to it, and I have nothing against women's wrestling. I mean, I do have, I do have a limit, like a personal limit for it. Like I personally don't think I can sit through like an entire women's wrestling show, and I'm not taking anything away from them. And I'm glad that there is a following that does enjoy that. Cause you know, I don't have a problem with a women's wrestling match. I really don't. And, I mean, some of them are just amazing athletes and, you know, could go with any dude out there. So, I'm all for that. But you know, I do have like a certain level where it's like, okay, I can't watch eight of those, you know, of women's matches. I can't do that. But the thing is with CZW is for the most part, there's a total of four women on their roster that wrestle. Chrissy Rivera wrestles sometimes. For the most part, she's managerial, but she does go in there and wrestle sometimes. Christina Bonieri, she's with Masada. She, you know, she does death matches. She does this and that. So she gets involved and she wrestles. Nevaeh, she's with Ohio's for Killers. That's, you know, Jake's wife. She can wrestle. You know, she does that type of thing. And then you have Kimberly, who's a very good wrestler as well. She's with the Gulak campaign for a better combat zone. And she's a good wrestler too. But my point there is you can fit their entire women's, quote-unquote, women's division into, like, one tag match. Or you can have a four-way dance, and that's all of their women in a match. You know what I mean? So, to me, it's kind of weird because there's only so much you can do, and then there's, like, this girl, Shana, who they brought in from Portugal, you know, she came in and wrestled Nevaeh. So, all you can really do is you have your four there and then possibly one from over here or one from over. So it just seems like a really lost women's division. And it's hard. I wouldn't know what to do with it or how to actually fix the situation. Cause I wouldn't really lean in the direction of getting rid of any of these women because I think they're all talented and they all do have a place, but it's just weird to kind of have somewhat of a women's division. We're like, you know, you'll go two or three shows with no women's matches. And then you'll just like put one on there. And then there's really not a lot of where you're going to go from that. And I don't know. It's just, it always gives an awkward feel. And then depending on the placement on the card and what you had building up to it or what you have following it, a lot of times it falls dead on the crowd. And this was definitely one of those matches where the crowd was hot as hell. The whole show really came off that big, you know, six-man match, and they were pretty lit up. And they really didn't react a whole lot to this match. And I think that's a lot. And it fell dead on me, too. And I think that's kind of a lot of what it was. It was supposed to be Nevaeh versus DJ's choice of opponent. And he came out and introduced Shana and everything. And then in classic DJ Hyde fashion, Nevaeh wins the match. DJ gets on the mic and goes, yeah, well, so I said that it was, and of course, you know, Nevaeh is now turning her back. What's going to happen next? I was going to be, you know, opponent of my choice. And, well, that wasn't her. It's me. You know, he goes and does like, he did kind of like a... hold on, my dog's deciding she wants to add commentary to the match because she heard something out my window, so which is always good podcast. What else, dog? So he gives kind of like, see the thing, like he has his lariat finish, whatever. That's what he had to, absolutely. And if he said that he was her opponent, okay, you're the owner. That's now a match. You ring the bell, that's now a match. That's not just like, and now I'm going to beat you up. That's now a match because you're proclaiming that I was the opponent the whole time. And, you know what I mean? So he comes up on her, and I guess, like, whether she was ready for it or whether he had confidence that she'd be ready for it or not, rather than, like, hitting her with the lariat from behind, he kind of, like, half comes at her and hits her with, like, a clubbing right to the back. So she kind of, like, goes down and, like, it comes up, and then he kind of just, like, pushes her down. And then stands over and's like, that's what you get. And then kind of walks off. And now she's all, like, beaten and stuff, which, you know, I understand the selling and I understand, like, the most of it. But to say that you're the opponent, you ring the bell, you absolutely must hit her with your finisher, if not, like, two of them to show that, like, what a dick you are and how devastating you're being. Or put her through a table or do something. Not just, like, a... kind of a clubbing right to the back, and, you know, no finishers here, and just kind of push you down and say, yeah, that's right, bitch. And then just kind of, that's the end of that segment. So, it just gave me that classic DJ.
What the fuck?
You know, that's just the feeling he leaves me with a lot of times. It's just, that's what it is. So, I didn't understand it. Obviously, they're building up, Ohio's for Killers versus DJ type thing, and they're going to continue to, you know, build out. Now, you know, Jay Crist wasn't there, and DJ kind of shoved his girl around, so now he's going to be super fired up, and their next stop is going to Ohio, you know, where Ohio is for Killers hails from, of course. And, you know, they can continue that. And that's just fine. But I just think it was horribly executed by DJ Hard. Shocking. Amongst a really, really good show, he still manages to make himself look like a tool. Then you had Caleb Conley versus Shane Hollister. I think this was a really good match. The two of them are very, very good. Caleb Conley actually ended up winning via roll-up, which I'm not really positive on the reasoning behind him going over. They had a big match. They had a match where I think it was a six-man or something along those lines. But it was kind of like a Money in the Bank type match, but it was, you know, opportunity knocks where you can get a title shot anytime you want. And Shane Hollister kind of stole Caleb Conley's victory, where he kind of threw him out of the way after, like, he hit his finish or, hit a big move, and then he got the quick roll-up on the other guy. So he kind of stole the victory and got his thing. So they have the match here, and if they're going to, you know, if they're going to build a feud between the two of those guys, I mean, you would hope that Hollister would win by some kind of screwjob victory. But for Conley to just go over by a roll-up, I mean, all right. And now next month, is it next month? Let me double-check the date, because it's next month. It's September 7th, they go to Ohio, and he's going to have his World Heavyweight Championship shot at Drew Gulak, which, you know, spoiler alert, that's who wins later. So, I mean, you would think by just, you know, logical booking, whatever would happen, you would either keep these guys away from each other, or you'd have something happen, either like a no contest or Hollister wins by shady tactics, and then maybe Conley comes in and screws him out of winning the world title or something, you know, something like that to keep it going, and then you spark off their feud or something like that. But, I mean, he just got the win over him, and now the guy's going in there for a world title shot. I'm not really sure. You know, whatever. I mean, like I said, it was a really good show. I'm just nitpicking on, you know, how it kind of looks. I don't book this shit, so what can I say? Four Loko versus the Beaver Boys was next up. This was a really good match the previous show, and they did the rematch on this, and it was really good again. They have really good chemistry. Just awesome match. It went pretty long, too. John Silver is a fucking star. He's a star, straight up. Alex Reynolds is all right. Nothing wrong with him. But John Silver, that fucking guy is a beast. He's so much fun to watch. He's a short little dude. He kind of plays like a power guy, but he's able to do a bunch of quick flying shit, too. He's a lot of fun to watch. He really is. Jesus, bashing Blog Talk Radio as I do the show. I guess he's having a problem listening. But he just does beast work. He just does great stuff. Like I said, the two teams have great chemistry, and just another really good match. Following that was A.R. Fox versus Andrew Everett, which is absolutely high-flying dream match. The two of them just, Jesus, words can't even put any justice to this match. You really, really got to go out and see it. It's just a high flyers dream match. These guys hit so many spots and just so many, like, really, really accurate, you know, flippy moves or whatever you want to call them. But, I mean, the guys are just on fucking point. And the two of these guys pull off some of the most amazing things you can see athletically in a match, you know, as far as, like, the, you know, agile, high-flying moves. Just amazing. I mean, at one point, Fox got just fucking dropped on his head with the, I think it was like a reverse Rana, or might not even been a reverse Rana, just a straight, you know, standing Rana. And it really looked like he got fucking hurt. And it slowed down absolutely nothing. The finish came where Fox hit, he normally hits like a, it's called a low main pain. He's got the guy sitting on the top rope. It does kind of like a springboard, almost like a split-legged moonsault, but he just uses the, he doesn't do the split-legged part. He just bounces, you know, the back of his legs off, grabs the guy, and does a back-flipping, like a rock bottom type move, which is, you know, amazing in itself. But this time, he leapt up to the top rope at the same time as Andrew Everett was springboarding to try to springboard in for one of his high spots. He springboarded up, Fox sprung up and hit the fucking move. Just absolutely perfect timing. I mean, the match was just unbelievable. You absolutely have to see it to believe it. Insane, absolutely insane match. Next up was the Osirian Portal returning to take on the Blackout Tag Team Champions. Really good match. It worked really, really well. I don't know if the commentator didn't know Ophidian's name, or if he just chose to call him Cobra all match, but that's how he announced them. The entire match was Cobra looks like this, or Cobra's coming. Here comes Cobra. You know, like. I don't know. I don't know if that was planned or what, but I mean, the guy's name's Ophidian, but and I know he is a Cobra technically, but but it was really good. Everything seemed to come together about this match. I mean, they did some brawling to the outside. Ruckus, you know, got hip tossed into the chairs. Jesus was doing a lot of good work. In there, you know, one of the spots too that to me kind of stood out, and I don't know, it's just some details like that tend to stand out to me. They do like this little the move where he kind of wheelbarrows Amasis wheelbarrows Ophidian, and he does kind of like this Cobra charm thing, and sometimes they use that to hypnotize David, and sometimes they do a move out of it or whatever. So he did that, and then he kind of like
kind of like a hip toss, arm drag type thing to his own partner that sends him into the corner into a spear. And while he's going to hit the spear, Jesus is like in the corner with his back to the corner. He came out of the corner just like a step. So when the dude hit him with his spear, it knocked him back into the corner, and it looked like it had impact. Now, I think if he kept his back, you know, in the corner, it would have looked like shit. It would have looked like just nothing really happened. It would have took that whole move and just made it look like nothing. Just like the same way, like, when people do, like, the, you know, off the top rope cross body, and the guy that's standing on the mat jumps before he gets hit with it. I mean, it makes it look impactful. Like, he's catching him in the air, and it looks really cool. So my only point there is, like I said, the attention to detail there, and I think that move looked really good. Amongst the, like I said, the whole match seemed to really come together well. The Blackout, used heel tactics and just pretty much, I think he just like kicked the ref in the dick or some shit like that. And it was a DQ and they kept their belts, you know, and I'm sure DJ was happy because
me and G's are really, really tight family.
You know, so I'm sure he was really happy about that. So they're still tag games. Next up was Drew Gulak versus Masada. As I really expected this to happen. The match went fucking great, though. The match went really good. They allowed Masada to be Masada and really brawl. And they tried to do the same thing with Dickinson last month. I think it was last month. But to me, it didn't work at all. With Drew, it absolutely worked. Because Drew worked the leg, which is, you know, Masada's got the injured knee, legit, that he needs surgery on. He's trying to raise funds to get surgery on, yet, you know, he's still wrestling because, I mean, what else is he going to do? But anyway, Drew worked the knee and just continuously worked it, and Masada brawled with him. And Drew would cut him off, you know, go to the knee. And it just really worked really, really well, where you could see, like, the frustration building in Masada throughout the match, where, you know, he was having a hard time getting off what he was trying to do. There's a point where he threw a chair in the ring. Drew catches it and throws it out the other side of the ring. Like, you know, just really, like, you know, stopping him at the pass of taking it further down the hardcore, you know, death match, you know, hardcore realm. You know, and Masada can go, you know, wrestling-wise as well. But, you know, a guy defending his title that won two tournament of deaths in a row, you don't want to see him like, oh, well, he just lost his title in a straight wrestling match that he just decided not to go hardcore. Like, you know, he played the full Masada, you know, fucking brawl, fucking dangerous guy. And Drew worked it perfectly to where he worked that knee every fucking way he could. And, you know, he kept it going, and Masada fought out every way he could, and it just wasn't enough in the end. There was a point, too, where, like, even the crowd, they didn't fucking get it. But Drew went up to the top and hit him with a fucking, like, he dove at the knee. Like, what do they call that? You dive and you take the leg out. He did that. He went up to the top rope and pretty much went straight down and dove at the knee. So the crowd's like, you fucked up, because, like, you know, he didn't do no flippy stuff, guys. But no, like, I mean, you can see he went right down for the knee. Like, there was no fucking up about that. Like, he took the top rope to really dive down at the knee. It was really good. And, he won the title. And well-deserved. He really, really made it look good. I hope that they're able to make this continue and look good, with him. Because, like I said, my big worry on that is you don't have the super baby face to chase the title. When Gage was there, you would have a Nick Gage where you'd be like, oh, well, you know, Drew Gulak is a pure wrestler and he wants a better for the combat zone. And then you'd have badass fucking Gage come out and fuck you pussy. And, like, you know, really, really chasing the belt and trying to,
trying to kill, you know, did that CZW hard edge, trying to kill this motherfucker, and Drew just outsmarting him with the wrestling and drawing it out and going brother and brother. And they really don't have that. I mean, you have your Matt Tremont, who's very well over with the deathmatch crowd and very good at what he does, but I don't think it works the same, because, you know, you'd have your Gage, who could, you know, really wrestle in that light that would work well. He can possibly rekindle the thing and do it with Danny Havoc. That's a possibility, because, you know, him and Danny had a past feud too that even went all the way to like a, you know, no rope barbed wire match. And also, you know, CZW World Champion, whenever it's actually worked, has always had to have your death matches and your, now it doesn't need to be the Necro Butcher, but, you know, has to be able to have your death matches, your hardcore matches. I mean, you can't just have like a technical wrestling masterpiece on the main event of every CZW card. That's just not going to work with CZW fans. Even though that's, you know, that's fine for what it is, and, you know, no knocking the ability that Drew has to do that. He's a great wrestler. But I wonder on how the card can be closed if you do that. You know, even go back to Scotty having the title. Oh, that was a complete bomb. Complete bomb. The crowd couldn't have been more dead for him having that title. So, and you know, not to just, you know, throw Scotty under the bus or anything like that, but I do think Drew has a lot more ability to work his gimmick, his character, and get the crowd, you know, amped up and against him and stuff like that. And that's something that, you know, I think works in his favor, but you need the guy on the other side of the table to really pull for, you know. But like I said, he's wrestling Shane Hollister on September 7th or whatever it is in Ohio. That's going to be a great match. Those are two really, really good fucking workers. So, you know, I mean, like I said, it's only worrying about the bad that can happen, especially through CZW's booking. But, hey, man, Drew is very, very capable of doing some really big things. And this is the first time he's got the world title. So, you know, the ball's in his court. He knows what he's doing. He's been around CZW a long, long time to know what those fans like. So, you know, if anyone's going to be able to, you know, apply his knowledge of the company and, you know, the history of what's worked and what hasn't worked, it's going to be him. So, you know, best of luck to him. He's a great dude. Next up was the Tangled Web match, and holy shit, this was fucking crazy. You had your cage, like a piece of the cage of death thing that's suspended from the side of the ring with barbed wire on it, and then you got a scaffold. You had, you know, one of them Caribbean spider web gimmicks over on the one side of the ring. You had, like, barbed wire boards just laying on the floor on the one side of the ring. You had next to the scaffold, hung by four chains, was a barbed wire board just suspended up at about scaffold level up there. This was just a nutty fucking match, you know, rightfully so. I mean, 13 just took like a silly fucking bump to those just barbed wire boards just flat on the floor. I'm trying to remember like the spots that are really sticking out. It's hard because it's, you know, there's so much going on everywhere, and I don't, you know, I hate to miss stuff because it's, I hate to not give these guys credit for what they're doing, for Christ's sakes. Rory at one point was at the top rope and got knocked off and flew back into the cage thing. And instead of just hitting, like, the fence part of the cage, he landed directly on the steel support beam. Oh, my God. That shit looked like there's no way that's where he wanted to land. I mean, he took it like a fucking champ, but there's no way he expected to be there. Or I don't know what, he just didn't look back or what the case was, but Jesus Christ, that must have hurt much more than it got credit for. God damn. So you had that. You had, who was it? I think it was Danny and, jeez, I don't want to. I think it was Danny and, fuck. Part of me wants to say Drew Blood, but I think it was,
what's his nose? Ron Mathis. I think it was Ron Mathis. And it was a suplex. It was supposed to be a suplex. And it ended up being like a backdropper, like Saito suplex. Saito? Suplex to the outside from like the, I think it was like the second rope or something along those lines, to the outside through that Caribbean spider web thing. This fucking thing didn't get, I mean, there was no breaking of the fall or anything. It was definitely the equivalent of just fucking, just going off of where they went, Saito suplex to the fucking floor, just to the goddamn floor with, you know, barbed wire coming with them and a couple pieces of wood. I mean, just holy shit, that fucking bump was unreal. Just nutty shit. Then towards the end where the finish was, Devin ends up getting up there and does like the Sheamus. Well, I don't even want to call it Sheamus. I want to go Fit Finley on this one. You know, he's got him up like a DVD and then he does like a front roll. Well, he did that off the scaffold through the fucking suspended barbed wire board to the ring. Just fucking crazy. And then Devin hit they ended up covering Ron Mathis again. Covering Mathis or Rory. I lose track of who was where because there's just crazy shit going on everywhere and I'm not looking at it right now. But and actually, it's a shame because I actually watched the match twice and I wasn't drinking during either one of these things. It's actually been almost 6 weeks since I've been. Side note. But then Devin went up and hit a shooting star knee drop on top of the barbed wire board that was piled on top of mystery opponent underneath the thing. And they, you know, pinned him for a 1-2-3. And after the match, they continued the thing going with Rory and Danny Havoc. Danny got on the mic and, you know, started giving everybody credit and went to shake Rory's hand. And Rory smacked him in the face and said, you know, I'll fucking kill you or something. So, they're going to be going at it again and in the near future, I would imagine. But crazy, crazy fucking match. And the reasoning why, too, I say that the match wouldn't have been anywhere near as good if it was just Scotty and Drew Blood is because Rory Mondo did so much in the match. Ron Mathis did a ton in the match, which, I mean, if you've listened recently, I have not given the guy a lot of credit. I, you know, had high expectations for him early on. I also listened to DJ put him over in an interview where he actually said that, oh, this guy reminds me of John Moxley. He's the next John Moxley. And I just looked like, you got to be out of your fucking mind, DJ. Which is, you know, not out of the norm. So that's that, you know, but he impressed fucking tons. But Ron Mathis and Rory would have not been in the match at all. And Devin was fucking definitely one of the all-stars of this match, doing the move off the scaffold, doing the star press off the scaffold, all the stuff he did in the match. He wouldn't have been in the match either. It would have been a straight tag match. So, I mean, I give just all the credit in the world to everybody in that match that did everything they did. Then, you know, after the match, you know, Devin gets on the fucking mic. Hey, Drake! Jesus Christ, I can't even do it at this time of night. Hey, Drake! Hey, Scotty! Stay the fuck home because we don't fucking need you. Fucking, I'm like, oh, Devin. Why'd you have to do that? So, you know, it's just that, you know, guys get fired up. They just had a crazy great main event and stuff. He's got a shit on the guys, too. But, you know, such a easy fucking W. Such a family. You know, is what it is. But I think that's about all I got for tonight. I think I hit everything I wanted to. I'll definitely, you know, hit up some more things next week. And, you know, guess I'll go and plug the other shows. Wrestling Soup tomorrow night. Is there a commercial?
If you will,
the business.
Also, women love wrestling.
We're Canadian, we sound like white girls, but we're black. Plus, we love wrestling. We make fun of others and ourselves. Join Melanie and Corey every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen live on Blog Talk Radio. Subscribe and download on iTunes for free. WomenLoveWrestling.com. We're not your average chick.
Yeah. And then you can go over, watch it if you want. Listen to the Sports Den that's on right now. You can go to the Sports Den Facebook page because I keep asking Nick for a promo, and he keeps not giving it to me. So by next week, I will definitely have a promo for that dude. And Sports Den, definitely go over, like I said, go to the Sports Den on Facebook. You know, they have a page, and I'm sure all their links are up there. You can check that out. And Stern Nation, I don't think they're on live this week, but tomorrow they will be airing a show that they taped previously that, you know, hasn't been aired yet. So Stern Nation will be on tomorrow, as well as the Shiznit that Yolanda does over there as well. So check all that out. I think that's about it. Let me see what I got to play out. I don't know. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, we'll go with this. All right. Have a good night. Talk to you guys next week. Peace.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Night, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's a fucked up world we're living in. And people are doing some really bad shit. The TSA is about to start allowing pocket knives and horse shit that's under 2 3/4 of an inch back on the airlines. So make sure that when you're packing up with your loved ones, that you're packing a blade just like every other sick, sorry motherfucker that's about to get on the same flight as you. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Have a good flight.
Me and G's are really, really tight family.
But you go to the back. And you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.